Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and here we are. That was The Persuasions, one of my favorite groups, great a cappella group. This is the day that Jerry Lawson, a singer with the group The Persuasions, was born in 1944, and that was a very famous rendition of the song Buffalo Soldier, honoring the African-Americans who fought in the West. We are now joined by Diedrich Muhammad. Diedrich Muhammad, of course, is Senior Director of Economic Development of the Economic Department and Executive Director of the Financial Freedom Center at the NAACP, National NAACP. Diedrich, welcome back. Good to have you with us once again.
Good to be on, and I'm loving those day in history. I didn't realize today was the day Robeson had died.
Yes, so we'll be playing
a very legendary figure.
A very important figure, and we'll be playing his music and remembering him during the course of the day. I'll say a little more about him during the course of the broadcast. But let's talk about this report that just came out. It's actually fascinantly interesting. This is the Opportunity and Diversity Report Card, the consumer banking industry. Shocking and not shocking in kind of the lack of growth of African Americans and Latinos in the upper echelons of the banking industry.
Yes, this report is the second. You know, NAACP's done corporate diversity report cards for years. We've kind of reformatted it and restarted it a year or so ago, focused on the hotel industry first, and now we're doing the banking industry. And you know, in some ways it's fairly predictable, the results, but nonetheless, I think it's also kind of surprising how little progress has been made in 2014 with basic diversity, whether it's diversity in upper management, where for in this report card, let me first explain, we looked at the top five consumer banking corporations. So it's Bank of America, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, J.P. Morgan, and Citi, and as representatives of the industry as a whole, and graded them as it relates to their governing body, top management, all the way down to semi-skilled positions, as well as supplier diversity in a few specific areas like a branch location, some small-dollar products. The main focus was kind of diversity of employment as well as supplier diversity, and it is surprisingly low, the use of minority and black businesses. So we did an examination of looking at how these banks dealt with people of color as a whole and African Americans in particular. And we found that in 2011, none of these major banks spent any more than 1.6% of their supplier dollars with black-owned businesses, and no one spent more than about 5% with people of color businesses. And of course, you know, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars spent on suppliers of supporting these major corporations, and very little of that money is going to black and minority businesses. And then, in terms of employment, we see, which is too often the case in most industries, that the lower level the position, the more diverse the positions in terms of people of color and African Americans. But when you get up to top management, you see that for the five major banks, everyone received a failing grade except for one as related to African Americans, and the same was true for people of color. Everyone received a failing grade in top management except for one bank, as it's people of color in top management. So it is still kind of surprising. I think a lot of the banks were surprised at how poorly they were doing in some key categories.
Well, a couple of things here I wanted to say, come to, especially the last thing you just said. But one of the places where people of color and women are deeply represented are at the lower ends, whether it's what you wrote about bank tellers, vault employees, loan processors, receptionists, the kind of semi-skilled categories, much of that's going to be automated out and is being automated out.
No, that's the challenge, is that, and this is consistently a problem, and this is what keeps so many communities at the financial edge or in poverty, is that the places where they are being hired in strong numbers are places that, one, pay low wages, oftentimes barely living wages, and two, are the most unstable. And with the banking industry, you know, we do see that the teller positions, a lot of the most basic service positions are being kind of wiped away with enhances in technology. And so, you know, that is a concern about, and theoretically, some of these jobs could be stepping stones from semi-skilled to highly skilled positions that could help move people up. It's a good way of getting into the bank industry, and we're going to see that. I think these doors are going to be increasingly closing, and so that is a great concern we have.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who are young people of color who actually graduated from even Ivy League colleges, and what they're doing in those banks, they are bank tellers. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My wife, her first job was working as a bank teller. I know she went on to become a pharmacist, but even just that opportunity to work in that type of professional setting and so on was a very helpful and positive one for her. So it is a great entry-level position. And I did want to highlight, part of the report card, we call it Opportunity and Diversity Report Card. We look at the diversity practices in the major corporations, but we also want to highlight the job opportunities in these corporations. So people who are looking, and oftentimes younger people or people looking to change careers, we also suggest you look at this report card. It gives a highlight of the various different types of jobs. Many of us don't even know the various types of jobs that exist in the industry, the education requirement, the skill requirement, and the median pay. So I think it's also a great tool for people to use as they're looking to change careers or start a career.
Now, I mean, when you said earlier that one of the things you were, I think, very generous in saying, maybe it's just my jaundiced view of the world, Diedrich, but you said that the banks were shocked in some ways at this themselves. I'm wondering if they were that shocked. I mean, or is it just that the people are so insulated from worlds that are not their own? You know, when you see people who go into the upper echelons of banking, go into the management world of banking. The vast majority, you said, were white men, 64% in this report. And that people hire people that they're familiar with. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be necessarily a devious thing. Oh, I'm a racist. I don't want this black man up next to me, at least not consciously. And it's something kind of more insidious than that in some ways.
Well, and I think, I think the important thing to understand is that people want to look, if I don't personally have animosity toward African Americans, Latinos, whoever it is, then, I'm not racist. We have nothing to worry about. It doesn't take that personal animosity. What it really takes is lack of action, lack of will to address racial inequality. So, it's not enough to say, well, look, none of us has personal prejudice against people who are different than us. We just happen to be all white in this office. If you think that's okay, you are perpetuating racial inequality. And that's what's happened, is that we're seeing, ongoing racial inequality, even as maybe personal prejudice declined. It wasn't just personal prejudice which created racial inequality. It was policy. It was lack of resources by some communities, which we still have. And so it takes, you got to use a phrase that people consider controversial, but this was the basis of the phrase, affirmative action. You have to do something different if you want to get away from the racial inequality of the past, or else it stays your present and continues into the future. And that's where we're at with the banking industry and with most industries, actually.
Folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. We're here with Diedrich Mohammed. We're talking about the latest report coming out from the NAACP on African-Americans and people of color inside the banking industry, or the lack of. 410-319-8888. There's one line here in the beginning of the report where you talk about public financial regulatory agencies have successfully navigated this transition by stepping up recruitment of minority workers, but that doesn't show that similar success in the private sector. But that is historically the case in America. It's the public sector that really helped create the black middle class in this country.
No, it's something that that we're going to try to bring more attention to the private sector. There needs to be more recognition that private sector does do some things very well, but the public sector has also done some things well. And the public sector has been generally at the forefront of strengthening diversity, whether it's racial diversity, whether it's women in the workforce, and has actually been the leader on that, with the private sector usually catching up. Now, of course, I'm not trying to act like the government, the public sector, hasn't had racist policies. It's true, but they've usually always been less racist than the policies as a whole in the private sector. So they have been at the lead. And, when banks or whatever corporations are asking, what can we do, let's point to, large multimillion-dollar organizations that are dealing with finance that actually have had some success and oftentimes that is in the public sector. We also, too, want to highlight, you know, with the corporation, one corporation might do well in one area, the others might do poor in that area. So there's also best practices in the private sector. But that is important, and we do think this is an important time to deal with the banking industry because of the Dodd-Frank Act and some more regulations as it relates to diversity. Government is going to hold them responsible, and that's often, too, been a leading way that we've strengthened diversity in this country is by stronger governmental regulation.
So, and I wonder what you think some of the solutions to this. I mean, maybe it's a rarefied world that some people walk through, but there are a lot of people of color that many people know, who are involved in the financial industry, who are involved in banking, especially in the world of stocks and more. But so what begins to address that? I mean, how does that really change? Well, let me stop there. How does that change?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's that hard in a sense, in that one of the last things we suggest, we have a list of four suggestions in general for the banks, and then we look forward to meeting with each bank individually to talk about where they're weakest, where they're strongest, and ways that they can strengthen the way each corporation can individually strengthen their practices. But, I mean, one basic thing is to develop a goal-based timeline. And look at, you know, don't just hide diversity in some super broad category that kind of actually confuses things more than helps you understand where you are in terms of diversity. If you use diversity, and that includes women, it includes all people of color, it includes veterans, it includes low income, well, you're kind of getting so much information, you really don't understand where you're lacking, you know. And so we made our report card, again, focus on people of color and African Americans in particular. Have some goal-based timelines of, have an honest assessment of where you're at, where you should be in a foreseeable future, and then measure yourself. I mean, and this is something, you know, banks are very good at measuring their profits and their performance, and all they need to do is put these type of strong measurements as it relates to diversity as well, and I'm sure they can make great increases.
Now, one of the things that was announced this week was that it must be something in the wind, because Apple announced this week that they were going to work at diversifying their board. And I don't know if that also means extending down to diversifying their workforce.
Yeah, we're working on another report, which we're hoping to get out in Black History Month, which takes a look at the information technology sector, because there are serious problems there. And diversity of the board is a very good and important and powerful piece. But it also, if not done properly, can be window dressing, because it's much easier to get, you know, your board to be 10% Black or 10% Latino, you know, if your board is 20 people, you know, it requires two people. It can be harder when you're looking at, highly skilled positions, where you might be talking about thousands of people, which might have a much broader impact. And in the IT sector, there's, you know, many concerns we have. One, there has been some requests that some of the leading IT industries share their diversity information, and many of them have protested, saying that it would put them at a competitive disadvantage if they shared their racial diversity information, which makes no sense to me, but it's something that some of these companies are saying. As well as, you know, some preliminary research showing, well, as well as there's a big fight around some immigration changes around H-2B visas and concerns about how many people they're bringing abroad for IT jobs, when there actually are a good amount of people of color in this country with computer science degrees and master's degrees, and we find African Americans, even though they are more likely to get a computer science degree in this country than Latinos or Asian Americans, are still some of the least likely people to be employed at some of these major IT firms. So I think there's, you know, I'm glad Apple's dealing with that one aspect, but there's a lot of other policy issues, public policy and corporate policy, that need to be addressed. Because, again, this is supposed to be the industry of the future. And if the industry of the future is going to continue with strong racial inequality, then that means that the country as a whole is going to be a country marked by strong racial economic inequality.
Let me finally ask you this, Dietrich. I mean, do we think that, given the recent history of what the banking industry has done to the economy of this country, the economy of the world, and where the roots of this chaos lies in many ways is in the financial sector. So does this transform the financial sector? Does the financial sector, in hiring less people of color, just transform them?
I'm not naive enough to believe that just by hiring people of color, that means, you know, in any industry, that means that the policies of those industries will inherently be good and be serving to those communities. I do believe that, one, it is a matter of equality and justice that all corporations have strong diversity in their corporations. I do believe it's helpful to have people from various communities, particularly at the upper management level where policies are actually created, that can give input on these policies. But then it's still going to require government regulation. It's going to require strong nonprofit advocacy in order to have organizations who are funded in making sure that those who have the least power, the smallest voice, the most disenfranchised are being concerned. Because clearly, once you work for a major bank, you work for the bank, and your interests become the bank's interests. And so we get that, but we still think it is important to have diversity at all levels of those corporations. And then the NAACP will continue to do its advocacy, and we do a whole different type of advocacy as it relates to mortgage lending. And actually, that's part of the reason why, too, we also grade them on the small dollar lending products, what we think is high cost products, what type of products we think should end. I'll just say briefly, it was announced recently that Wells Fargo and several other banks, U.S. Bank, has ended their direct deposit advance products, which many consumer advocates have linked to a bank payday lending, which the NAACP says these products were too high cost, were actually hurting people. And just recently, we've been talking to these banks for years about this issue. They have ended that product. So there's always going to be space for advocacy, but we also need to make sure there's diversity in these corporations.
We're talking with Dietrich Muhammad, Senior Director of the Economic Department and Executive Director of the Financial Freedom Center at the NAACP about their latest report that has come out on the opportunity, the consumer banking industry, which we will attach to on our website at steinershow.org. We're going to go out of here with Paul Robeson, going out with Old Man River. Of course, Paul Robeson, one of the great intellectuals, athletes, singers, entertainers, and civil rights fighters, who passed away on this day in 1976. And Dietrich, thank you so much for being with us.
It was great to be on. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a very brief break, we're going to come back. And when we do return, we're going to be talking with two women who are deeply involved in the technology sector on the continent of Africa and what they're doing. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And pull that rope.